Good morning, everybody. We thank you for your presence with us in the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning, just at the holiday time. We're glad and encouraged to see each one that's been able to join us for morning worship. Let me just read to you some verses from the book of James that are in keeping just with the circumstances even of this day with the funeral to follow this afternoon. James said, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that." So it's a great reminder to us, we're not to boast of tomorrow. We don't know the events of the remainder of this day, and we certainly don't know the events that will befall us tomorrow. And the great challenge, the great warning for all of us is to be right with God and to be ready when the summons comes. 416, please, is our opening hymn. William Cowper's hymn of consecration, "O for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb." So 416, please, we'll ask you to stand as we sing together.
Shine.
Let's just seek the Lord together, please. We'll just wait before the Lord. Still our hearts in the attitude of prayer. Our God and our Father, we seek thee at the throne of grace. We praise thee for the great access that is afforded to us as the people of God. We come to thee in prayer in the name and by the merit of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for that throne of heavenly grace, that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We confess, Father, that every day and every situation we need the help, we need the grace of God. We ask that you'd grant it to us, even as we come to this time of worship. We thank you for each one in this service that has known your saving grace. We praise thee for each one that is converted, their sins forgiven, walking with God. But we thank you, Father, for your grace that keeps us, your grace that sustains us. We cry for that, Father. Your word exhorts that we're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the means of grace that's granted to us, the attendance at thy house, the place of prayer. We thank you for the sacraments and the ministry of your word. We pray even, Father, that through this service this morning, that you'll strengthen us in the faith, that we'll be built up as a band of your people in our most holy faith. Our cry would be that you would lead us on just a little farther with thyself. We thank you for the testimony of the gospel that is made from this congregation in this city. Lord, we praise thee for that day almost 60 years ago when this congregation was founded. We praise thee for your faithfulness that has maintained this witness. We thank you for how it has been used. We think of many lives that have been changed and transformed through the preaching of the gospel in this house and through this congregation. We think, Father, today especially of those that have been called into full-time service through the ministry of this church. We thank you for your servant that's in our midst. We ask thee to remember the Reverend Gardiner during this time at home. Thank you for your providence that has enabled him to be here for these 2 weeks to spend a little time with his family. And Lord, we thank you for the time of refreshment that he's had. We praise thee for the opportunity for him to come amongst us today to minister at these services and to report, to tell us of the work of the gospel there in Australia, especially in the great city of Perth. We thank you for the faithfulness of our brother and his family for these 10 years, just a little over. We thank you, Father, for how you've used them, how you've blessed them and encouraged them, the tokens for good that you've granted. We want to ask that the days and years ahead that you'll do greater things amongst them there. We thank, Father, the vastness of that city, the multitudes of people, the vast majority with no thought of God. We pray that you'll use our brother even as an instrument in your hand. We pray, Father, that you might give him a ministry there, even similar to the ministry of Jonah, when you used him in Nineveh to turn the whole city to thyself, from the least even to the greatest. We pray that you'll bless him today in his own heart as he ministers here at these meetings. We pray, Father, that he would be an instrument in your hands amongst us today. We ask thee to use him and to speak through him. But we pray, Father, as a church, that we would strengthen his hands in God even at this time. Remember his family there in Australia. Remember Cherith, Anna and Karis. Watch over them during this time that our brother is absent. We pray for your hand upon the work as well. We pray, Father, for those that minister at the meetings. Give to them the help of God. Pray that even encouragements might be granted during this time that our brother is absent. We pray there'll be encouragements awaiting him as he returns again in the week that lies ahead. Remember his father, especially at this time. May he know the touch of God just upon his body. May it please you to give him grace and even to strengthen him a little at this time. We're mindful, Father, of those in our congregation too that have been unwell. Remember Sister Ruth. We pray that you'll continue to sustain her. We thank you, Father, for the progress that she's made in her recovery. Pray that she'll be conscious of your presence. Thank you for the grace and the peace that she's known. Remember Brother Jim too and the treatment that he's receiving. Put your hand upon Jim, we ask thee. And thank you too for undertaking for Mrs. Walker, enabling her to leave the hospital, for the improvement that she has known. We pray that recovery will continue as well, that her sister will know thee, strengthening her in body and in soul. Lord, we ask thee to remember this incoming week, all that is planned for the house of God here. We remember the outreach for the Holiday Bible Club. Pray for a good evening for that outreach tomorrow night. We pray, Father, for a good number to be able to be present. We ask thee to stir up hearts. May we have a mind to work. And Lord, we would pray that you'll use the invitations as they go forward. We're mindful of all the arrangements being made for the Holiday Bible Club, but we're conscious, Father, that we need thee. You've told us clearly in your word that without thee we can do nothing. And we would ask, Lord, that your hand will be upon those meetings. Remember Sister Joyce as she prepares for them. Remember Sister Andrea and all the preparations and those that are assisting as well. And Lord, we pray that your blessing will be upon every night of the Holiday Bible Club. We pray for a very good attendance. We pray for an encouraging attendance. Pray for more children to come in to those meetings that have been attending even in recent years. We pray on the parents' night that many parents and family members will come along, especially, Father, those that are not often in the house of God. May it be the means of evangelizing even in those homes and in those families as well. Lord, we ask thee to remember the Stringer family circle today especially. Pray that you be near to them. We thank that you've assured us never to leave us nor forsake us. We pray that they'll be conscious of your presence this day particularly. We thank you for the memory of William. We thank you, Father, for the day you saved him those 50 years ago, changed his life, made him a new creature in Christ. We thank you for his quiet, godly life. And we thank you, Father, for his faithful support of the cause of Christ here for all of those years. And we thank you, Father, for your presence with him to the end. We thank you for the peaceful manner in which he was called from this scene of time. But yet, Father, his sudden home calling is a warning to us, even as we have read from the Scriptures. We know not what shall be on the morrow. Wherefore, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Pray that his death might be a challenge. Pray that you would speak through it. We are conscious, Father, that you can use circumstances and events to speak to others, and especially family members, those who would have known our brother well. Give grace to the family for this day. May they know the nearness of the Lord. Give help in the services this afternoon. May the Saviour be seen. Pray that he might be magnified. But we pray, Father, speak through your word. May we know the comfort, but may we also know the challenge of the word of God to every heart. We're mindful as well, Father, of Hannah and James and their wedding day on Friday. We want to commit them into your hands as well. We think of all the plans and preparations that have been made, and we pray for your hand upon that day. We pray it might please them to give them good weather for their wedding day. We pray, Father, for your blessing upon that day. We pray for the presence of Christ. We recognize, Father, we could ask for nothing more than his presence and his blessing to be known on that wedding day and upon the marriage that is to be formed. We ask thee, Father, to bless our young brother and sister. We pray that your hand will be upon them from the very first day of their married life together. We're glad as a church that we can commit them into your hands and into your keeping. Remember their families as well. We're conscious just of those mixed feelings of a family on a wedding day as they let the young people go to set up their own homes after all of those years in the family home. And we're conscious of the happiness too as they set out in married life together. Sustain the families, and may they know your presence and your help and encouragement too. Lord, we ask you just to abide with us now through the meeting. We pray that as we worship thee, that our hearts will be right before thee. Save us from just going through the routine, from drawing nigh with our lips when our hearts are far away from thee. Our prayer, Father, is that our worship would bring glory to your name today, that our prayers and the worship of our hearts will ascend up as incense before thee in a manner that is acceptable in thy sight. Lord, we ask and offer these our petitions to thee today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 98, please. We're going to further sing together. Psalm 98. It's the words of the second version. Sing a new song to Jehovah, for he wondrous things hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy, victory to him have brought. So this, the second version of the 98th Psalm, and we're rising as we sing, please. Take the scriptures, please. We're turning to read in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 3. We're commencing to read at the 8th verse. And we're reading down just to the close of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning to read at the 8th verse, And let us hear the word of the Lord. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And we're sure the Lord will follow today with his own blessing. That's the public reading of his word. I want to welcome you to our morning worship here in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church in the Saviour's great name. We welcome everyone, thankful for your presence, glad of your support, the opportunity to fellowship in the Lord's house and around his word. Especially if you're visiting in the service, we're thankful that you've come. It's an encouragement to us, and we pray that you'll be blessed by this meeting, and we'd encourage you to come along again, even to the service tonight. It's good to see the children and the young people of the congregation, those that are present with us at this holiday time when the Sunday school and Bible classes are off. We appreciate your attendance and your support. And we want to welcome those that are watching our service as well on the live stream. We're glad that you have been able to join us. And that's an encouragement to us. And we pray that the word of God and the service, the worship, will be a help and a blessing to you this day. Remember, please, the meetings tonight. 6 o'clock is the prayer meeting in the church hall. 6:30 is the gospel service. And the Reverend Gardiner will be with us again to minister the word of the Lord. So we encourage you to come along again tonight. Come and bring someone else with you, others along, to that gospel service. Keep in mind the importance of that work of bringing others to the Lord's house, that they too can sit under the preaching of his word. Tomorrow night at 7:30 is the outreach for the Holiday Bible Club here in the church. Keep that in mind. We would ask as many as possible to come along and to give help and to give support. Remember, there's quite an area to cover, so the more folk that are able to come, the easier that will be. The flyers of the invitations are in the porch. If you would like some of those to take and to give to your neighbours or to your family, feel free to do that. We'd be very glad of your help just in making the meetings known. So please do remember the outreach tomorrow night. Wednesday at 8 is the midweek meeting for prayer and Bible study. I'll be leading and preaching at the service myself, God willing. We encourage you to come if you can. We're thankful for the encouraging number that there was Wednesday night past, despite the holiday time. We appreciate that very much. Just to make the committee members aware, there will be a meeting of the church committee immediately after the midweek service on Wednesday night. So we encourage as many members as possible to be present for that meeting. There are wedding bells sounding this week in connection with this congregation. Miss Hannah Carson and Mr. James Logan will be married here on Friday in the will of the Lord. So we want to take the opportunity at the service this morning as a congregation to congratulate them on their marriage. We trust that you'll have a great day. As a church, we want to assure you both of our prayers. We've appreciated Hannah's labours amongst us with the young people and the children just in recent years. We'd like to acknowledge that this morning. But we wish you both God's richest blessing for the future. And our prayer is that you'll have many happy years together, and that the families too will have a very nice and a blessed and a happy day together at the wedding. Next Lord's Day then, the 28th of July, the services at the stated times, 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. Please remember the seasons of prayer, the half hour before both of those meetings. And I'll be preaching at both services next Sabbath, God willing. Monday then, the 29th, that is Monday night week, is the commencement of the Holiday Bible Club here in the church. The meetings will commence every night at 6:30, and they will run through from Monday to Friday. And then there will be the parents' night on the Sabbath evening afterwards. Please remember the list in the porch. We ask you to put your name on the list today. The list will have to be closed today just to give a wee bit of time to prepare those rotas. So please put your name beside any of the meetings or activities that you can help with at the Holiday Bible Club. And be assured that that would be a great help and a great encouragement. But we ask you to do all that you can just to make those meetings as widely known as possible, and do what you can to help out with the services as well. Our sister, Miss Joyce Walsh, Children's Evangelist under our Mission Board, will be conducting the meetings this year. So remember Miss Walsh in your prayers as well. Just remind you that the accounts, the annual financial accounts for 2023, are available at the doors. Remember to take a copy if you haven't had an opportunity to do that as yet. Just to make you aware, the total offerings that were taken so far at the Windrums Field Service a couple of weeks ago for the radio work in Southern Ireland, the totals are £1,470 in sterling and €1,754 in euros. So those are very encouraging offerings, or a very encouraging total. You can still add to that offering if you would like to do so. I haven't had the opportunity as yet. We emphasise that to you, and you can pass on to your gift to a member of the Windrum family. Next Saturday is the Gospel Witness at the Belfast Pride. That starts in the morning at 10:45 on the corner of Waring Street. The speaker is the Reverend David McLaughlin. Mr. McLaughlin is the minister of the Carrie Duff Church, and he's also the secretary of the Government and Morals Committee of the Presbytery. So remember that Gospel Witness in your prayers, and if you are able to go along and stand with them and give support, I know that they would be very thankful for your presence. Just to remind you again of the Whitfield College's Christian Workers Training Academy. It commences on the 17th of October. Remember that there are two terms, two sessions, one before Christmas and the other after. Runs through the winter months. The Reverend Julian Patterson now organises that for the Academic Committee of the Presbytery, and he's very keen that we would highlight it to the congregation. The meetings or the classes this time will be held in the Clogher Valley Church. Remember, they move them around the province just to make it easier for people in different locations to be able to benefit from them. So there are cards in the porch that give you all the details, including the cost, and the back of the card is the application for the course. Do you remember just some of our young people? Abigail Finlay is away in Romania with the third serve team, and we'd ask you to remember Abigail and those that are with her. And the temperatures out there are quite high, in around the 40 at present, so that's a little challenging for doing the outreach and so forth. Remember Brother Daniel Soden as well. Daniel and Naomi are down in Corrigarry today. Daniel is preaching for us there at both of the services, so I know the Corrigarry folk are looking forward to having them down and to hear our brother minister amongst them. It is encouraging to have young people from the church serving the Lord, so we commend them to you for your prayers. Some in the church that especially need our prayers, Mrs. Ruth McAree. Ruth has moved to Lone House just for some rehabilitation. She's making steady progress. And Adeline Walker is out of hospital on Thursday. She is back to her daughter Pauline's down at Anna Long. So remember these folk especially, and her brother Jim as well, Jim McAree, and the treatment that he's receiving. Please continue to keep each of these folk before the Lord in prayer. As a congregation, we were greatly saddened by the news on Friday morning of the sudden home calling of Mr. William Stringer. The Stringer family have been attending the Armagh Church here for just about 50 years, or maybe just a little over that. William got saved at the Dick Saunders Gospel Campaign in 1974. Up to that time, he hadn't been going to church at all, going to any service, hadn't any interest in the gospel. So it was a great change that took place in his life. And he and Irene and the family started attending here immediately after William's conversion. His mother was the first of the family to come to the meetings here just a little before William and Irene. She had been living up in Ballinahoan at the time, and she would come down to the meetings and bring William and Irene's eldest girl, Olive, along to the services here with her. You'll remember that Irene passed away very suddenly. That was just a little over 3 years ago, in April of 2021. The funeral service is here. There's a service of thanksgiving this afternoon in the church building here at 3:30. There will be a private burial before the church service. That's to work in with the closing time of the cemetery on a Sunday afternoon. To help facilitate that and a short private service in the home before the burial, I'll have to leave this service slightly earlier just to go to conduct those meetings. But the Reverend Gardiner will close the service for us this morning. We'll be able to leave the meeting in his very capable hands. As a congregation, we extend our deepest sympathy to the whole Stringer family, especially to the girls, Janice, Olive, Hilary, and Sandra. And we also extend our deepest sympathy to David and Glynis Bell and the family. I remember that William was their brother-in-law. They were very close, and I know that William thought very highly of David, and as I mentioned at Irene's funeral, they were very encouraged. It was a great blessing to them when David was appointed as an elder of the congregation here. So please pray that the whole family will know much of the Lord's presence and comfort through this day and also in the days that lie ahead. We're going to sing together, please, just a couple of verses of 462. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. We'll sing together just the first and the last verses, 1 and 4 of the hymn, and we'll stand together as we sing. It is very nice for the Reverend Gardiner to have the opportunity just to come home for these 2 weeks. As we'd mentioned to you, his father hasn't been so well, so it gave him an opportunity to spend a little time with Arnold and Heather and with the family. He had to travel on his own on this occasion because of schooling and exams that are forthcoming. It's very difficult for all the family just to come at this time. We're very happy that he's with us this Sabbath day. It's always good for us as the home congregation to be able to renew fellowship with the Lord's servant, to hear him minister, so that he's encouraged by the support of the church here. And it's an opportunity for us as well to get a little bit of an update on our brother's labours. So we appreciate you coming along to the service this morning to hear our brother. We've asked him just before he preaches that he'll give a little report, just a short update on his labours and his ministry in Perth. So we'll ask him if he'll come just and do that and then minister the word of the Lord to us.
I do want to thank the Reverend McMillan for the kind words of welcome. It is a joy to be with you here this morning in the congregation in Armagh, and I do appreciate all of your prayers for us in the work of God in Australia. I thank the Lord for this congregation and for all that I learned here, and the little I know, perhaps most of that was gained here, and so I'm thankful for the congregation here and for all of your prayers for us. This year thus far has been something of a challenge for the congregation. I don't think a discouragement, but certainly a challenge in that some of the families that have been attending have relocated, and so they're no longer with us in the congregation. Some other families have moved to another congregation that was opened much closer to them, so another denomination established a church plant closer to some of the families that were coming somewhat of a distance And so some of our families have gone to help them. And so it has presented a challenge for us in the work, but we look to the Lord that he will bring others in under the sound of the word. Very especially, we long to see families with children and teenagers brought in. At the present time, we have only one family coming that have children in the primary school age group, and then the only teenagers in the meetings usually are our two daughters. And so we look to the Lord that we'll see other young people and children brought in under the sound of the word. And we are thankful the Lord has given us an open door there in the work. I think last time I was here, I probably mentioned that we have been going to the stadium in Perth to give out literature at sporting events, and we still do that. We're thankful for that opportunity, and we do pray that as many in their intent to get to the stadium as they receive literature, that they would even read that and that souls would be brought on to the Lord. I have mentioned previously also a little outreach that we have. It was weekly, now we're having it twice monthly at a public housing unit, and this is a place of great need. There are many drug addicts there, many alcoholics, and so we go there each, as I said now, twice in the month. I still do an English lesson, but we have a gospel meeting, but very few come to it. But again, we're thankful the Lord has opened that door. Just a few weeks back before I came, we delivered leaflets into all of the letterboxes, so all the letterboxes for the complex are in the one place, and the next morning, many of those leaflets were shoved into the letterbox of the lady from our congregation that lives there, and so there was obviously defiance that these people didn't want to even have an invitation to a gospel meeting. One of the last times we were there, I put a little sign outside the meeting while the meeting's in progress. While the meeting was taking place, the sign was stolen away. So certainly the devil doesn't seem to want us there, but we're thankful the Lord has given us that door, and we look to the Lord that we will see others brought in under the sound of the word. In the other congregations in Australia, there has been much encouragement in recent months in the work in Tasmania. A number of new families have been attending. There's now around 60 attending the meeting there on the Lord's Day morning, and so we're certainly thankful for the encouragement that there's been in Tasmania. And also in South Australia, there has been an elder appointed both in the Lock Church and in Port Lincoln, so two new elders in South Australia, and we praise the Lord for that, that encouragement in South Australia as well. Just around Easter time, I was preaching at a camp in South Australia, north of Adelaide. A few of the Lock congregation were in attendance at that camp, but it was a great opportunity, not just for me and the family, but also for our denomination, where there were almost 100 attending that camp, or at least coming in and out of meetings. I think about 70 stayed, around 100 at some of the meetings. And so our brother Kyle Graham has also preached there in previous times, and so we're thankful even for that exposure to a greater audience of people. And again, we look to the Lord that we'll even see other congregations established in Australia in coming days. We long to see the work of the Lord there taken forward. Maybe tonight I'll mention something about the work of the Lord in the Philippines. I'll mention that tonight, but we do again appreciate your encouragement for the work of God in Australia. If we could turn, please, again in the scriptures to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and our text this morning is the verse 21, but we'll read the verses 20 and 21. And they really are a unit, a great doxology. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. And let us ask the Lord to come this morning and to minister to each of our hearts. Our gracious Father, how thankful we are for the Word of God that is before us. We cry to Thee, dear Lord, that Thou wilt take Thy truth and seal it to each one of our hearts. And we pray, O Lord, that through the Word this morning, that the heart of every believer will be strengthened, that our eyes will indeed be lifted afresh to Christ. And Lord, we cry to Thee for those in our gathering that are still lost and without Thee. Open blinded eyes, we pray. Bring the lost, we ask, savingly to Thyself. And so grant that promised help of the Spirit of God, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We have in these closing words of Ephesians chapter 3 a great doxology, a great song of praise. And I'm sure that these words are very precious to many in the congregation this morning. And in the latter part of the doxology, Paul declares that God is to be glorified in His church and by His church. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Now, in the Word of God, the word church is used in a number of different senses. Sometimes that word church is referring to the universal body of believers. So the Lord's people throughout the world, in every age, and that body is often described as the invisible church, in the sense that we cannot discern accurately each and every individual in it, the invisible body of the Church of Jesus Christ. But then this term is often also used, that is, the church is often used to describe what we call the local church, a congregation like this one, a local body, and we refer to that as the visible church. And so as we look over the meeting this morning, we can see those that are in attendance, those that associate with the work here, the visible church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, chiefly in this text that is before us, it is the universal body, that invisible church that is in view. But of course, the truths that are suggested by that then are to be reflected in a local body like this one. And so God is to be glorified, and God is glorified through His church throughout the world, and He is then to be glorified even through a congregation like this one. Charles Simeon, who was a very famous preacher in Cambridge in days past, he said that Paul does not exclude the world as though they had no reason to bless their God, but because he knew they had no disposition to bless Him. And so it ought to be true that the world would have a desire to glorify the Lord's name. And yet Paul says here, unto Him be glory in the church, because the world without Christ has no inclination, yea, even no natural ability to bring forth glory to the Lord. So the whole earth ought to glorify God, but it refuses to. Calvin said, the whole world is a theater for the display of the divine goodness, wisdom, justice, and power, but the church is the orchestra, as it were, the most conspicuous part of it. That is, in the world, while yes, the world ought to glorify God, the church is like an orchestra in a great theater, setting forth in a most wonderful way the glory of the Lord. And how is the Lord glorified in His church? Well, chiefly in salvation. Chiefly in the Lord's gracious dealings with His people. And so, thank God, this text does not say, unto man be glory by Christians. That is, the gospel is not a message
that is to bring glory to man. God is not, as it were, congratulating man for all of his effort. That is a message of hopelessness. And there are many across the face of the earth, and they are hoping that by their effort they could appease a holy God. That as if glory should be brought to man for all of his effort, death to that. Rather, the message of the gospel is, unto God be glory. Unto God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And so Archibald Brown, who was a friend of Charles Spurgeon, said that this text contains all that's worth living for. All that is worth laboring for. All that is worth suffering for, yea, all that is worth dying for. Unto him, unto God be the glory. And so I want us to look in the time that's left at the subject, the church, an instrument for God's glory. The church, an instrument for God's glory. And I want to see, first of all, with you, the foundation of the church. The hymn writer said, the church is one foundation. Is Jesus Christ her Lord? And our text here is showing us that the church and her Christ cannot be divided. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. If you look back at chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, please, and the verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 22. He hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And here, as in many parts of Scripture, a number of parts of Scripture, we have this illustration of the relationship between Christ and his church, and the illustration is used of the human body. Christ is the head. His church is the body. And a body cannot function without a head. And so the church has no life without its head. The church cannot function without its head. Christ is the head of his church. All the life of the church is derived from our head, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we come to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, I believe it's important that we have a right understanding of what Paul is speaking about when he speaks here of the church. There are some Christians, and they have a view of the church that differs from what we might call the historic Reformed view of what the church is. And their view is that the church is a body that was formed at Pentecost and is going to disappear sometime before the end of time. And so they make the church of Christ as to speak of the Lord's dealings with a particular group of people in a particular era, from Pentecost through until some event before the Lord comes again. And so in their view, the Lord's dealings with the Jewish people in the Old Testament is very different than the Lord's dealings with his people in the church today. Equally in their view, and the Lord's dealings with his Jews in the future is something very distinct from the Lord's dealings with his people in the church today. They will emphasize, and in this part they are right, that the Lord deals with his church today under grace. But what so many in that view fail to understand is that the Lord's dealings with his people have always been in grace. Whether it's in the Old Testament, whether it's at the time when the New Testament was being written, or in our day, or in the future, God's dealings with his people have always been in grace. And so I want you to look again at this text. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Throughout all ages. World without end. And so in that other view that I've been mentioning, which we usually describe as dispensationalism, it would really charge Paul with having made a great blunder. According to that view, Paul really should be saying, unto him be glory in the church in a particular period of time. But no, Paul speaks of glory in the church throughout all ages. And this text then was true in Genesis 3:15, when we read of that great promise of the seed that would crush the serpent's head. This text was true when we read of how Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This text was true when Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought to the land of promise, when he believed the word the Lord had spoken to him. This verse was true when God preserved his people in the wilderness, through the era of the judges, through the era of the kings, in the writing and singing of the Psalms, in the bringing back of a remnant for exile, in the witness of Elizabeth and Zacharias, even in the Lord's work in the city of Ephesus. And this text will be true to the end. Unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages. Praise God, the era of grace did not begin at Pentecost. The Lord's message of salvation by grace alone was preached in the Garden of Eden. And so God was glorified in that sense by the church, by Jesus Christ in the garden. And he is still glorified in that way today. And surely there are very practical implications then that arise out of this for us this morning. We live in a stubborn world that refuses to glorify God. And what are we to do in the face of that? We are to continue to declare salvation by grace. We are to continue to declare to stubborn sinners, whether religious or not, that they must repent before the great glory of God, before the holiness of God. Surely we could also say here that an implication is that since God has always seen to it that his name is glorified in the fallen world, that he is glorified in grace, the Lord preserves a remnant. In the verse 10, it says, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And through God's dealings with his people, God, as it were, is preaching to the angelic beings. God is preaching of the greatness of his wisdom, as is set forth then in raising up Christ to be the Redeemer. Of course, the angels, they stand in amazement at the message of grace, that the Lord would have come and dealt with fallen, rebellious sinners, and would have brought a message of hope to them on account of his own dear Son. Therefore, unto him be glory in the church. But also, surely we learn here that our lives ought to reflect the greatness of grace. If this glory in the church is chiefly glory on account of the greatness of grace, are we not then compelled to live graciously? As the Lord has dealt graciously with you, believer, is this text not telling you that you are to be gracious in your dealings with others? Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. And wherever you are, wherever you live, wherever you interact with people, you're the one that in a very practical way is to be setting this forth. And as the Lord has been gracious to you, so then we are to be reflecting the greatness of the Lord's grace. And surely then also we are to rightly confess before the Lord that our praise this day fall short. Is there one of us that perfectly lives to the glory of God? Not one. Is there one of us in our praise is flawless? Not one. Is there one of us in our prayers are without flaw? Not one. But praise God, through Christ they are perfected. Unto him be glory in the church. So we have the foundation of the church. It's Christ and his gospel. But then I want to see with you, secondly, the growth of the church. For one of the great implications of this text is that the church is not to remain in a state of stagnation. Nor is the church to die out and cease to exist. Rather, the implication here is that we are to pray that God would be glorified through growth in his church, or to put it another way, that God would be glorified through the salvation of souls. John Duncan, when he preached in this text in 1844, he said that in this text we are not praying that God's glory would go beyond the church, but the bounds of God's church might be mightily enlarged. And so we're not praying that God would be glorified some other way, but that God would be glorified then through the growth on earth of his church. And equally, when we say glorify God, we are not saying that God would be more glorious. We are not praying that God would somehow be greater than he now is. God is perfectly glorious, but we are praying that that glory would be seen. We are praying that that glory would be set forth. And this text then is a great motivation to missionary endeavor, to outreach, to evangelism. I'm sure many of you have heard of the labors of William Carey, who's often described as the father of modern missions. He likened missionaries going to the mission field like an explorer going down into the mine. And in those days, very often if an explorer was going into the mine, there would be someone that would gradually help them down into the mine by holding onto a rope. And to use that as an illustration then of the missionary being like the explorer. And he said, those that stay behind, they are those that are left then to hold the ropes, especially holding the ropes in prayer. And at a particular point in his missionary experience, actually before he went to the mission field, he preached a very famous sermon from Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, and you'll see why this is relevant for our message this morning. It says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Enlargement, lengthening, the bringing of Gentiles into the body of Jesus Christ. And in light of that then, Carey said, expect great things from God. Expect times of enlargement. Expect times of glory when souls are brought into the church of Jesus Christ. Unto him be glory in the church. But then he said, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God, but attempt great things for God. That is, we are to take these words of Ephesians 3 upon our hearts, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And on that basis we're to go forth with the gospel of our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, as Paul was writing the little book of Ephesians, he was writing as a prisoner. Times were hard. Things were difficult. But if you look back at chapter 1, and the verse 6, what was Paul's great motivation? Ephesians 1 verse 6, he's spoken in the previous verse of predestination. Why has the Lord chosen a people to himself? Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And so why does the Lord save a people? It's to the praise of the glory of God's grace. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. And verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And the Lord saved you, not that you could pat yourself on the back and say, well done me, but the Lord saved you to God's glory, that his name might indeed be praised. The church then has been likened unto God's display cabinet. The Lord sets forth in us, weak as we are, the Lord sets forth in us the greatness of his grace. And again, surely there is a challenge then in that, isn't there? What sort of a testimony am I to the glory of God? What sort of a testimony am I, wherever I am, to represent Jesus Christ? What sort of item am I in God's display cabinet? May the Lord help us to set forth his glory, the growth of the church. But then I want to see with you, finally, the preservation of the church. For again, in Ephesians 3:21, it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Or throughout all ages, age to age, throughout all generations. And here Paul then was assured as he wrote these words that despite the difficulties that he faced, despite his imprisonment, despite the difficulties that his fellow laborers faced, the work of God by man could not be extinguished. Man cannot destroy the work of God. The work would continue to prosper. The work would be preserved. Paul could have said, unto him be glory in my life on earth. And of course, that is absolutely true. But as we have been reminded today, one day our life on earth, our journey on earth, will come to an end. But praise God, and when we are gone, the Lord will still have a work on earth to his glory. And therefore, these words are a fresh exhortation to see our children converted, to see a new generation raised up to stand for the Lord. Unto him be glory, world without end, from age to age. And these words then are to be a great comfort to us. The Lord will preserve his church. Despite the darkness of the day, despite the opposition, despite all that seems to be against us, the Lord preserves his church. Is the Lord not able then, dear believer, to preserve you? For the time that the Lord has allotted for you in this earth, the Lord is able to preserve you. To preserve you right until that great eternal kingdom. And when this text will still be true, that on account of the Lord's dealings with you, God will be glorified even through eternity. Isaac Watts said, I'll praise him while he lends me breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler powers. My days of praise shall never pass, while thought and life and being last, our immortality endures. I'll praise him
while he lends me breath. And so then, as we come to a close today, can you say with Paul, amen, to what Paul says here, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Is your desire today that God's name would be glorified? Perhaps there's one still in the meeting, and you're living for self. You're living for the things of time. You're living for ambition. You're living that men may look on you and say, look what great things that individual has accomplished. What foolishness. All of those things will be left behind. But here is something that is enduring. Unto God be glory. And this text then takes us right back, doesn't it, to the first catechism. Man's chief end. Our great purpose in being here, man's chief end, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You can only know that through the gospel. Do you know Christ? Do you have His salvation? Or do you continue to live without Him? Oh, sinner, come today to Jesus Christ for mercy. Praise God. There is access into that great body, the Church of Jesus Christ. It's through the head, the one who gave Himself for sinners, the one who has paid that ransom that you could never pay, the one who gave His life's blood to save a sinner like you. Oh, come to Christ today, dear sinner. Come and be saved. We trust the Lord will bless His word to all of our hearts. We'll bow together, please, in prayer. May the Lord take His word today and seal it to each one of our hearts. May our lives be those that are lived for the great glory of God. Our gracious Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy word. And today, Lord, we lift our hearts to Thee. We thank Thee that Thou art the one that does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We pray, Lord, that Thou will continue to work among the congregation here. That Thou will continue to work in the life of every believer. And we pray that as this text is true, that it will be reflected in our daily lives. Unto Him be glory in the church. O Lord, be with us through this day, we pray. Minister on to every heart, we pray. We pray for those gathered in that are still outside of Christ. Have mercy upon the unconverted, we pray. Bring lost ones, we ask, savingly unto Thyself. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.